name of Eddie Carr reports to work just before dawn. She takes your place along her assigned row of machines, where she will stand and repair breaks and snags to the twirling cotton spindles that surround her. Her small hands are bruised. Her skin is dry and cracked. She will breathe the stifling, lint-filled air that hangs in the damp, sweat box of the factory and would not feel the sunshine on her pale face. Not today, and not tomorrow either. Her bare feet will provide no comfort for the 11 long hours she will toil. Her thinning and filthy dress will provide no protection from the swirling machinery that will come more than once, dangerously close to shredding your skin to the bone, or worse, take off an entire finger. But that's not what she fears most. What ignites worry in the eyes of this seven-year-old child is quite simply losing her job as a spinner in this Vermont cotton mill. If she cannot work, she can no longer help her struggling family with the meager paycheck she brings home weekly. And then she would quite simply be worthless. Often I look at the poster of this young child, which hangs in my office at the AFL-CIO. I look into Addie Card's young eyes, and my heart swells, and I hear myself promise to continue her fight. To continue for the dignity of all workers, so that no worker feels worthless. I remind myself that no matter how comfortable my office chair feels, no matter how secure I know my job to be, no matter how fair my salary, that I must never take it for granted, any of it. That we must all continue to fight for just wages, fair working conditions, adequate benefits, and security in our old age. It is true that our nation has come a long way since this photo was taken in 1910. Labor laws have been passed to protect workers so they are no longer treated as a commodity by their employers, so they are not mistreated like Addie, where the worker is no longer acquired as cheaply as possible, worked nearly to death with no rights and no job security, and essentially stripped of their human dignity. Of course, labor laws did not pass by themselves. Each bill was a struggle, as is anything is worth fighting for. It took collective organizations of working people to campaign in their own interest for better treatment for their employers and governments. It took brave men and women to stand and shout, fight, raise signs, walk out, and sit in to enact real change. But let us not forget the labor movement also received some much-needed help from the Catholic Church. In fact, in 1891, Pope Leo XIII, as Father Carly had told you, wrote a document called On the Condition of the Working Class, in which he advocated a series of reforms, including limits on the length of the day of the workday, a living wage, the elimination of child labor, and the rights of labor to organize. When the document was released to the masses, the labor movement, which had previously floundered, began to flourish in Europe and later in North America. What Pope Leo understood was what millions of American working men and women already knew in their hearts, that individual rights did not disappear when workers entered the factory gates or once inside the office lobby. That the dignity of work is more than just a way to make a living. It is more than just a paycheck. I feel blessed to have worked for the AFL-CIO for over 40 years. It is an organization that has allowed me to a sense of pride and accomplishment in the work that I do. It has provided me job security and a fair wage. And when you are a single mother, like I was, responsible for raising
raising two daughters, let's face it, job security and a steady paycheck is everything. I counted on my job, on my single income, to put both of my daughters through Judge Memorial Catholic High School, to help send them to college to earn four-year degrees. And I'm proud to say they both hold graduate degrees, something I am extremely proud of. Not only of their hard work, but of mine to get them there. As a single parent, there was a lot to worry about, but having my job or health care was just not one of them, or my hours decreased, or my paycheck, that wasn't one of them. There is an old proverb that says, work is worship. It means that all labor is full of dignity and nobility, and that there is no better way to worship God than through honest work. But I'm here to add that it also makes for a better mother. There is a sense of dignity that comes with knowing you can provide for your children, to know you don't have to say no to their dreams. Recently, with the help of Senator Karen Maine, and under the direction of the AFL-CIO, and I'm proud to say Diane Lewis, who is sitting here, and the labor apprenticeship programs, we were able to establish an organization called Utah Women in Trades. Its main focus is to encourage and mentor women seeking a non-traditional job. We reach out to women and show them the opportunity to enroll in a four-year apprenticeship trade school, to be paid while they attend school, with a wage package that includes health care and a pension, and they can guarantee the same wage as a man for the same job. And I quote Senator Maine, women don't just need a job, they need a career. Through my union job, I was given work with dignity, but really, it was so much more. It allows me to live a dignified life. This is what the unions have given me, and for this, I am forever indebted. If the lessons of the past are not learned and continually passed from generation to generation, they are lost. Our children today must learn about the plight of children that came before them. They must learn about Addie Card and about the factories that cared more for profits than for people. McKay Jessup understands this. He attends Midville Middle School and is in the eighth grade. He recently wrote a letter to the State Office of Education expressing his concern about the absence of the labor movement in the U.S. history curriculum. You know, I can quickly paraphrase what he said. It's a tiny little letter. I have to read it. March 26, 2012. Dear sir or madam, I have recently completed a history project on the labor movement. I learned that things that we have and take for granted didn't exist in the 1800s and early 1900s. Things like the 8-hour day, minimum wage, workers' compensation, weekends, and the opportunity to go to school were all things that workers had to fight for. One worker who complained or asked for change was usually fired. It wasn't until they worked together in unions that change would even be considered. Joining a union or going on strike often involved great risk. Both big business and government were willing to use violent means to put them down. This battle for basic rights lasted more than a century. During the New Deal, reform was finally achieved through new laws like the Wagner Act and the Fair Labor Standards. We still enjoy the benefits that these workers won through courage and sacrifice. However, very few people my age have any idea the struggle fought on their behalf that allows them to enjoy basic rights of working to better your life and the life of your children. Learning about this has greatly affected my life, and I want other students to have that opportunity as well. I am a fan of history, but there were things that I learned that I had never heard of before. In interviewing labor leaders for the project, I learned that the history of the labor movement was once a course taught to all students. This is why I'm writing this letter, to recommend that a unit specifically about the labor movement, from its struggles to reaching its goals, be added to the U.S. history curriculum. Sincerely, McKay Jessup. This beautiful church we are seated was built by the hands of labor, and we honor them today. But we do them the most honor by continuing their legacy, by teaching our children and our neighbors and our friends, and yes, even a stranger, about the plight of the worker, about the history of the labor movement and the continued fight for dignity in the workplace for all. Little Ann Carr, McKay Jessup, are just children, but there is much we can learn from them, one from our past and one leading into our future. I wear a pin today that reads, "We are one." Three little words that couldn't have a bigger meaning. It is my mantra, my anchor, that reminds me of my place in this life. From my desk at work, when I look at Addie Card, and when I see the letter from McKay Jessup, I am reminded that we all, no matter who we are, all strive for the same thing. I need to be heard. I need to know that we matter. I leave you with a quote from the very wise Mother Teresa, who once said, "If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." Let us not forget the value of dignity in the workplace. Let us go forward with God in our hearts and never stop speaking out for those who have no voice. Thank you, Father Carney, and thank you, Jean Hill, who reached out to me and asked me to speak about my love of the labor movement.